It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us this day, the middle of September, as both myself and my co-host here, Pat, we are both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial future. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. And our goal here is to help you make wise choices with your money, to have some financial peace in your life.
To answer your questions.
And to answer some questions.
To the best of our ability.
To the best of our ability. Not necessarily perfection. And you'll get a good biased opinion.
Yes.
You know that's very noisy when you're trying to shove that thing on the mic.
I gotta turn the mic off. Can you turn this mic off?
You can push the button there.
Oh, sorry.
I can't. Huh? It's off.
It is. Thank you.
You need to get your glasses re-looked at again. You had the LASIK. How many years ago was the LASIK? And now you got the,
My mic's off.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, anyway. I understand.
So I get in here, everything's different. From last time. There
That's
used to be a little shelf here. It's gone. The little big thing around the microphone's missing.
The big thing around the microphone.
What's it called?
Huh? That's because we're not, we're like a weekend, we're like the stepchildren.
Well, I don't do this for a living.
I understand.
It's all new to me.
Anyway.
I've only been doing it for 20 years.
Anyway, we're here to talk about financial issues and help you make some wise choices with your money and cover everything from retirement to college savings, to real estate, mortgages, taxes, insurance, investments, etc. And if you want to be part of the program.
Just here to help.
Yeah, quite frankly.
Right? Yeah.
If you want to join the program and ask us a question, I'd love to hear from you. 921-1530 is the number to be part of the program. And it's usually easier to get on early in the show. Again, that's 921-1530. You can text us at 229-9999.
Now or during the week.
And you can send us an email at questions@moneymatters.com. Any one of those will get you onto the program. And love to hear from you. Saw the no really exciting news in the financial markets right now.
I'm starting to think.
Which is usually a good thing.
In Europe. Lots of things going on in Europe. We're going to watch how this...
Scotland's a big deal.
Yeah, and watch how being able to export to Russia is going to affect the European economy.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple interesting news items with what's happened in Ukraine and the natural gas supply to Europe, and they're already predicting some shortages. Gas prices are probably going to go up, natural gas
prices. They lowered interest rates in Europe in order to try to prop up the economy? They're worried about deflation?
I actually think this vote that we're going to see in Scotland, where Scotland's trying to claim its independence from the UK, that's a big deal.
And
The UK, the European Union, I think what's why this is important is there's many that are looking at the European Union and they're questioning if this has been a good thing for them, including the UK, as well as other countries.
Yeah, so they're not claiming their independence from the UK, Scotland, it's the European Union. It's the economic system that they're involved in that they're saying, hey.
Yeah, so
part of it.
What's happening, yeah. So, but Scotland is looking at its independence from the United Kingdom,
okay,
getting away from Britain. And a few weeks ago, it was looking like there's no way that was going to pass. Now it's almost a dead even. Still, there's more, just a little few more people saying, nah, we want to continue being part of that. But I think what's going to be interesting about this is, if we start seeing some of these countries break apart within the European Union, the European Union itself is going to be at risk. And there's also in northern Spain, Catalan, or however they pronounce that region, they're starting to talk about maybe we should secede from Spain. It's just interesting.
Well, it makes sense, right? If you're the rich part of Spain and you're supporting the poor part of Spain, at some point in time, you're like, how long do I want to do this? Which why I don't understand why parts of Northern California are trying to separate from the...
But they want to break it into...
Jefferson, the state of Jefferson.
Yeah, how many different states are they trying to carve California?
Well, look, you guys up north there in the so-called state of Jefferson, you don't have a lot of money. We've kind of been supporting you. So if you want to go, go.
some of those areas with 25% unemployment.
Yeah. You know those roads?
They're going to separate themselves from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, yeah. Those roads that run through there. Actually, I remember I was bicycle riding up on the North Coast somewhere outside of Eureka. And four of us, we were on road bikes. And some lady said to me, I hate you guys up here. I wish you guys would never come to this part of California. And I said, you know, I pay for a lot of the roads up here, right?
What was her response?
She said, what do you mean? I said, the five of us, four of us own our own businesses. We pay lots of taxes. Pretty sure I'm paying for a lot of the roads up here.
You look at these, some of these country roads, you know that they're obviously supported from, there's no way that the six residents on the 8 mile road can pay for the.
Actually, that's the name of one of the roads, 8 mile road. Wonder how long it is.
Speaking of cycling, this is the fifth year. There's this 300-mile bike ride that occurs on a Friday and Saturday.
From where to where?
Starts in Truckee, comes down Sacramento, goes back into Truckee. I did it a couple years ago, the entire thing. It's to raise funds for Big Brothers Big Sister.
Do you ride all without stopping?
Or? Yeah, that's why I didn't do it. I did it 1 year. You don't sleep at all. I just
How
remember
long does it take you to ride 300 miles?
Well, you go slow. It's about 30 hours.
You rode a bicycle for 30 hours without sleeping.
Yes, and it was not good because I remember I was literally, I was falling asleep on the bike. So anyway, yesterday afternoon I rode with them in the afternoon. The group was coming through town. I spent some time riding with them. Said goodbye at dinner time, and they're out by Loomis, and we had basically there's a SAG van with flashing lights and to be for safety at night with the cyclists, and I think there was five or six cyclists. Some drunk driver rams into him going 60 miles an hour, rams into the side.
The van?
Yes. Fortunately, the van was there, protected the cyclist.
Holy
no one was
smokes.
Hurt. The driver of the SAG van was okay, and the drunk driver
Holy
was arrested.
Holy smokes. It's terrible.
I know. It's like I woke up this morning, all these texts, and I'm glad my friends are okay. Cause,
wow.
Now we're off topic even further.
Yeah, but I remember yeah, you rode that 30 miles without sleeping, or 300 miles without sleeping.
Yeah, wasn't I don't understand it. That's why I haven't done it again with them. Those guys. I said, why do we need? If we, I
why?
Said, if we
why
took
what's
an,
the point?
I don't know. That's why I said we took an. Well, some of these endurance things are getting longer and longer. I mean, if you look how many people do marathons today compared to 10 or 20 years ago, it's gone
I
up
once
like
watched
crazy. Ultra marathons. Now they last weekend they had a 200-mile run up in Lake Tahoe.
200 miles.
That's right, 200 miles
without sleeping.
Oh well, you got to sleep something. I would imagine it's just kind of nonstop.
I once so watched TV
fastest.
For 6 hours in a row.
It's exhausting.
It is awful.
Isn't that quite common? You fall asleep on like
oh, I was exhausted.
6 hours. That sounds terrible.
I know. We ran out
anyway.
Of Cheetos.
So it's a little interesting what's happening in Europe.
With, oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it was a talk show, financial.
So we've got, I just think it's going to be a little bit, obviously, we've got, the Middle East is a disaster.
Oh, it's a complete disaster.
That region's been a disaster for a long time, but it's more of a disaster now than.
But it's not as the U.S. becomes more energy independent, which we are, our interest there will wane. Just the way it is.
Yeah, but...
we're certainly worried about the terrorism.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. I don't know if there's anything you could do about it, though. Truly.
Oh, I don't know. We're not going to sit and talk
anyway,
too much time about it.
All right.
We've seen the dollar rallying for 16, 17 weeks, something like that. It's been a phenomenal rally. The dollar's increased in price for so many weeks. We haven't seen it like this in a long time.
Yeah.
However many weeks it is.
Part of which because is, of what's happening in Europe.
Yeah, but here's what's an interesting thing. So you look back to the financial crisis 6 years ago. Lots of people saying, well, we should get out of the dollar. We still hear people talk about the dollar's unstable and we've got the deficit spending, $17 trillion in debt. What other things I should be investing in something that's not tied to the dollar?
Oh, how many times have you heard that?
All the time, right? So... But the fact is, the dollar has strengthened a great deal against all the other currencies.
Well,
the vast majority of other
everything
currencies.
Is relative.
Yeah. So the question is, if you're not going to trust in the dollar, what do you trust in? The euro.
Gold. How's that done?
Well, it hasn't done so hot as of
late.
I did have someone though last night asked me about what I think of gold and silver right now.
I like gold and silver.
I know. I like your good gold. You've got the gold chain around your
gold
neck.
Gold chain around my neck.
With a silver medallion.
Have
there.
You ever seen me wear any jewelry at all? I like most assets, but it's at what price? It's at what price? Everything is at what price? Do you like real estate? Yeah. Do you like stocks? Yes. Do you like bonds? Yes. But at what price? That's what's important.
Yeah.
So when people say, what do you think about this? What does that mean? Do I like it now? Will I hold it forever? At what price? Well, and how much?
Yeah. For most things.
Yes.
And because most people can't predict the markets, that's why it's important.
You own
instead of trying to
some of everything.
you tend to own and you increase or decrease some of your weightings at various points in time. We need to take a quick break here. If you want to be part of the program, we'd love to answer your question regarding anything in the financial realm, whether it has to do with your retirement, 401k, how to best manage your 401k. Should you be saving more? Do you have enough saved for retirement? Is retirement realistic for you? Are some other things, changes you should be making? Do you have the right kind of insurances in place? Is your life insurance the right thing? Whatever the case may be, I'd love to answer your question. 921-1530 is the number here. Again, 921-1530 or an email at questions@moneymatters.com. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Hanson McLean's Money Matters back here. Scott Hanson.
Matt McLean.
On this, we've got...
The date?
It's the weekend of the 13th and 14th of September.
Oh.
And we are hosting a wedding reception this afternoon at our home.
You are?
You look at me like I'm crazy. There's been this young woman who's lived with us for the last year and a half.
That's nice. Yeah.
And she met a nice young man. And they're getting married.
Are a lot of people coming to your house?
There's I think around 100.
Wow. You are a very, very nice family.
So I was up this morning making sure the backyard looked clean.
That was very nice of you.
Well, she's been like family to us, this young woman. She's been nice.
I have a family that I'm not hosting a wedding reception at my house for.
And she's now moving out.
Oh, that's
so that's the good news.
This is a radio show.
All right, let's take some calls. 921-1530 to join us here. Let's talk to Dan. Dan, you're with Hanson McLean Advisors.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Pat. How you guys doing today?
Good.
All right. It's a good thing, when you mentioned when you went up to Eureka and what that lady said about, you guys come up, when you said that, I was thinking it's a good thing that you didn't have the personality of Ron White, because she'd probably gotten more than she bargained for. that comedian, that Southern comedian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate that. What's your, you have a question for us?
Yeah. I heard, I don't know if it's all speculation or not again, but that the value of homes are starting to go up and that, now is this a genuine healthy recovery or is it the start of another bubble? Unless you have a crystal ball,
So the answer to that question is, home prices have actually flattened in Northern California
and in much of the country
over the last couple months. And right now, at the inventory of homes in the Sacramento area that are valued at over $500,000, I was talking to a realtor, told me he did 50 transactions so far this year.
Wow. 50.
One realtor, 50 transactions. He said the homes... what would he tell me? He said the homes at over 500 are at the inventory is 22 months.
Oh, my goodness.
So what that means is that based
on
the number of sales...
There's not much demand for those homes. Yeah, that's what that means.
Yeah, based on the number of sales per month...
That's a big home for most people, $500,000.
Yeah, but he said that that's where most of the movement has been for, at least for, he's...
What? So, but the thing is, when you look at... real estate, you tend to need the new home buyers and the move-up buyers. That's what a normal real estate market goes through, right? So you've got people moving up, you've got new home buyers coming in, and what we're seeing is a couple things right now. We're not seeing, new home buyers. Very few are coming in.
And the reason for that is, one of the major reasons is there hasn't been huge growth in incomes at that level.
And they say, why do I want to own a home? I saw what happened to my friend. I saw what happened to my sibling. Yeah. And they say, what's the point of owning a home? I'm burdened down. I don't have a stable job yet. So why should I bother getting a house? We're not seeing nearly the level of new home buyers come in, and we're not seeing the same sort of move up as we've seen in the past. So the trying to predict where the future of prices are going is really
plus there's more inventory impossible. Coming on the market in terms of actually new homes coming on the market. So I would expect that the homes, I'd be surprised if they didn't try for a while.
The question is, are you looking to buy a house right now, or why are you asking the question?
Okay, I'll give you, I'll give you a hint. I'm among the many, I'm in college, and, accruing debt because otherwise I wouldn't be able to afford to go there. I'm taking out loans and. So I get out and I'm going to start making some money so I can pay the loans off and then get a place and then put it down.
Don't, I got to tell you, Dan, don't worry about that. Get educated, save your money.
Okay.
Get educated, save your money, and don't worry about where home prices are going to be in a year or two and take on as little debt as possible.
Yeah. And I think with Pat, I have greater concern of graduating college with a ton of debt.
Yeah,
I see it's a real burden to a lot of young folks who think I need to go to college and I'm going to save as much. I'm going to it's going to cost me. I'm going to go to college.
Try to get a degree in a marketable area.
I find it amazing, Pat. You read these stories of some of these young adults. They go to these private institutions, pay a fortune for their education, and something that they're never going to get a job in.
Yeah, well, of course you find it amazing. You'd never do that.
I mean, if you had the money, it's one thing. If you've got the money to go to have whatever kind of experience and you think it's going to be a great experience for you,
well, then spend
fine.
It. But they do have the money.
No, they borrow the money.
The government, come on. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it here a dozen times, which is too much capital thrown at a problem doesn't necessarily fix the problem.
The education.
Right? They don't, they're not.
Every time you keep hearing about jobs, I saw something again today, and the administration's looking at how to get families with poor income, with poor credit, get those people loans. So the people that don't pay the loans back, let's make sure
we should lend them more money.
That's what,
because that'll fix everything. More money will fix everything.
That's right. Apparently, so that's.
And actually, the problem with more money at many problems is it either prolongs the problem or amplifies it.
Yeah. So anyway, 921-1530, and by the way, and the real estate prices. The real estate recovery is going to come when we have a growth in the economy.
Well, there's been a big recovery already.
No question.
And not nearly as much in the real estate market as it has been in the equities market or the stock market, but there's been a large, large increase in there. And when will the rest come?
I think when we see the economy actually increase. We need more jobs.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying the government needs another program to create jobs, because I don't think that's necessarily the answer. But without having additional jobs in the region, you're not going to have a lot of demand for new homes.
Yes.
You just need the jobs. 921-1530. We're talking to Bill. Bill, you're with Hanson McLean Advisors.
Oh, thanks so much for taking my call. The reason I was phoning, I was wondering, is there any way to protect your retirement savings and your home if you get divorced after a 10-year period of time?
Protect from your spouse, your ex-spouse?
Well, no, this is a scenario. I have a daughter that's been saving in a retirement fund, and if she should decide to marry someday,
got
I'm wondering
it.
If you can protect that, or if she has a home as well at that time, if the marriage doesn't work out.
Yeah, here's the challenge. So here's the challenge. And you're just thinking as a father trying to protect his daughter, which I appreciate. Retire anytime. California is a community property state. So what's mine is yours. Yours is mine during the time that we're married. So let's say she was married today. Over the next several years, any assets that were generated or accumulated during that marriage is community property, 50-50, regardless of who earned it. Regardless of who saved it, it doesn't matter. It's 50-50. Now, assets that somebody has prior to a marriage, at that time, it's separate property. Depending upon how things are structured during the marriage, it may remain separate property, or it may end up being commingled and become community property. So, as an example, let's say that she had an IRA that was intact prior to getting married. And when she was married, she didn't do any new savings to that IRA. That IRA would remain in separate property. And on the other hand, if it was a 401k that she had already had saved some, she comes married, she continues to contribute to that. Now it becomes more murky because now if she was divorced down the future, they would take into calculation what was the balance at marriage time, what it just takes some calculation to figure out. But the fact is the assets that she had prior to marriage would still be separate property.
Including any value in the home. And it's especially important that she actually do for the maintenance, upkeep of the home and pay the taxes and insurance on her side.
Yeah, so a home, somebody
it's really kind of hard to separate it there.
Because most people don't own the home outright. Most people get into a marriage, they have a home that's got a large mortgage on it. There's a little bit of equity, a lot of mortgage. Both couples work. They're paying the mortgage payments, sharing the expenses on it, and it tends to become community property.
What is her net worth?
She's young. It can't be much at all.
It's a little over $100,000.
Okay.
And she might want to see an attorney about a prenuptial.
Okay. Yeah, and she's 28, so she's been saving hard.
And how about her spouse-to-be?
She doesn't even have a boyfriend right now.
Oh, my gosh, you're borrowing you're borrowing trouble, Bill. You're borrowing trouble. Let's get her married. Let's line someone up.
I figured she was engaged to some guy that you weren't all that
gosh,
fond
Bill.
Of.
Yeah, my grandfather used to say, don't borrow trouble. That's very funny, though. So the guy kid comes over to the house and he wants to see a balance sheet. Bill's like, oh, here's my daughter. Is there any way you could bring a balance sheet next time you're here? I want to know what your financial situation looks like. Holy smokes, that's hilarious.
So, Bill, when she's in love and engaged, call us at that time and we'll
talk
through it.
Bill. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. That is pretty good, though. But, you know, people are getting married later and later. If we look at just the statistics, people are getting married later and later.
And more often.
More frequently. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know.
But anyway, the whole concept behind prenuptial agreements, you see them, here's where they become a little more complicated. And I think a lot of people's concept behind a prenup, they don't even like the word behind it. You're young and idealistic and you're getting married and let's just do life together. But where you start seeing some issues is on a second marriage. And this is where it's real, because now you've got a spouse, you're an individual that has a couple kids on their own, maybe grown children. You have another individual, they've got a couple grown children. They've got their own assets. And
do you both bring a house to it? Who's you live in? Where's the other house go?
And some of these issues can be resolved just through some good estate planning, living trust and whatnot prior to getting married. But we strongly encourage people at that time to seek counsel, get some good planning done prior to marriage, not because you're planning on a divorce or you're telling your spouse, I don't really trust you. That's why I want you to sign this document. It really comes down to how do we protect the adult children? Because what we've seen, somebody gets remarried later in life, that individual passes away, the assets all then get transferred to the new spouse, and the children from the original person, they don't receive their inheritance.
Yeah, disinherited. And it happens all the time. You see it.
We see it firsthand. We see it a lot.
Yeah.
And you actually need pretty good documents, because we've seen people, even though there are some documents in place, try to play some games around.
And most of it could be fixed through some good estate planning with a quality attorney with a trust.
Yeah, and keeping the assets separate. And here's what happens should I pass away, and here's how my kids are going to be taken care of, and that sort of thing. And that's where these sort of things get, I think, are important. But, Bill, let's hope your 28-year-old daughter.
That is classic.
Assuming she's going to be
dating.
Hadn't had a boyfriend in 7 years.
Bill's going to make sure that she gets to keep it all intact. Oh, my gosh, Bill.
He's got private security driving by the house for all the time.
I'm guessing Bill might be hard on any guy that comes over the place.
I couldn't imagine. 28 years old, too. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We've got three lines open. Love to hear from you. A question regarding something in your financial world. 921-1530. We're not going to laugh at you as much as we're laughing at Bill.
We're not laughing at Bill. Bill was laughing.
We like Bill. 921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. Hey, if what? You call in, well, a bunch of people called in and then they hung up. I don't know why, but we still have a couple lines open and we'll get you on the air.
Yeah, it was busy. The lines were all slammed.
It was like, actually, it was all full and then...
921-1530.
If you'd like to join the show.
And we'll talk to David here in a second. But before, you're going to New York this week for some sort of... Aren't you being nominated for some sort of community service, something or other?
Yes. Which actually...
What is it?
Well, let's... The genesis behind this is Investment News has this Invest in Others where if you win, they give money to the charity. So if I win this Invest in Others, there's four or five of us for community services. They give $20,000 to the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. I win.
So who's this? Investment News?
Investment News. Yeah, big, you know.
And news. So this is a way for them to...
Invest in Others. But here's... I went to the people.
And you're not, how many people are up for the award?
I think four.
You're a finalist.
I think three or four. Yeah, I think, two or three.
And you're a finalist.
I'm a finalist. But here's how it's
So you're going to New York and you may or may not win.
I may or may not win.
They're not probably, I guess they're not paying for your travel to New York.
Dang it. But we're supposed to go to the floor of the NASDAQ, which actually doesn't. They go to the opening bell at the NASDAQ.
It's a joke.
It's a bunch of screens.
It's a joke. It's a media thing.
I know.
Floor of the NASDAQ. That's hilarious.
That's what I thought. He said, what does that mean? So the NASDAQ stands for the listeners, National Association of Securities Dealers Automated Quotation, which means it's all matched in the computer. But
what the NASDAQ is all matched by computers as opposed to
the floor of the wall.
The New York Stock Exchange used to be.
It's all matched by computers
now. It's mostly
now
too. But, and it's pretty empty now too.
So our marketing department, I saw this award a year and a half ago, and I said to the marketing department, hey, I think Scott Hanson would be great at this. Will you nominate him for this award? And then the marketing department nominates me.
I said these should be you. How many years have you been on the board of the Sacramento Food Bank?
Oh, I don't know. 15, maybe.
A long time. And you're chairman of the board.
Chairman of the board.
Oh, big deal.
And Frank Sinatra.
Now, you've done some great...
it's a good organization.
All the folks at the Sacramento Food Bank, and I know you're just one of many, a lot of good, just the leadership, but the volunteers and the staff there and everything else.
It does good work.
Well, let's hope. And this is when? This is next weekend?
When's the award?
Is it like a fancy thing? You have to wear like a tuxedo?
I have to wear a suit and go to a dinner.
Not a tuxedo, though.
No.
Is it at a nice place in New York?
Yes.
Like a fancy private club type thing?
Oh, it's, I don't know. Hundreds of people.
They send a town car for you and all that? Are you... You gotta live like a big wheel on.
Yeah, Donald Trump and I are dining together.
That would be a rough evening.
With Ivana.
He's not married to her anymore, is he?
We hang together. The Donald.
Can you imagine an evening with that guy?
The Donald.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm having breakfast with Barbara Walters.
Now, that would be very interesting, I think.
No.
Huh?
I have absolutely no interest in meeting that lady.
Barbara Walters?
She came up and tried to borrow money from me. I wouldn't even, just walk right
borrowed
past.
Borrowed money from you. I don't think Barbara Walters needs your money.
It could happen.
I'm guessing.
It could happen.
But she's a little more interesting than Donald Trump, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. Donald Trump's, casinos out in, the hotels and casinos out in Atlantic City filed bankruptcy twice. Here's what makes Donald Trump so good. He builds his brand, but every deal is its own separate kind of company.
Yeah, including a lot of the real estate stuff just blew up.
Yes, but they're all separate, and they don't have... So something blows up, and it's like, it doesn't seem to hurt
the Donald.
Yeah, anyway.
But I'm not... I mean, if you asked me, would you rather go to some taqueria in shorts and a T-shirt versus put a suit on and go to a nice dinner and...
But if you're going to be in New York, I wouldn't go to taqueria. There's a lot of great restaurants in New York City.
My point being...
You'd rather be here at the local taqueria.
I'd rather not have to wear a suit and go sit at a table with 10 other people that are in my industry talking about...
It's always fun.
talking about standard deviation, alphas, betas. I'd rather not. But
you know, it's funny. I remember years ago, I had my wife on. We were somewhere. I don't know where we were. Some sort of conference with other financial advisors, and we're at this table, and it's this long dinner. And one of the guys on the thing, it's a bunch of guys in our industry.
Yeah, and they all get together, and everyone wants
some
to tell
gals
you
who's
how,
still mostly heavily male dominated.
And they want to tell you how much better they are than you. Every one of them.
So it was,
and we all know we're the best.
No, it was over 2 hours of dinner, and this one guy, I heard about his wine collection, his house, his cars. He would not shut up. And I remember we left. I told my wife, I said, I promise I will never take you to another one of these again.
And
she
you,
never, no, she doesn't. No, yeah. I don't take her to
actually,
those conferences.
My wife hasn't been doesn't to an industry conference in 15
they're
years.
They're horrible. Yeah. I try to get in and out as quick as possible.
Anyway, so I'll let you know. But yeah. Listen, I don't really care much about the award as much as the $20,000.
For the food bank.
For the Sacramento Food Bank.
Which would be great.
Yeah. So we'll let you know.
Well, you better
stay
win.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Let's talk to David. David, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
How you guys doing?
Super.
Okay, I know you were talking about the real estate market flattening out. Do you think it went as high as it could with the low interest rate? Because you see the interest rates coming up anytime soon.
Well, if we can predict that one. But here's what we know. When interest rates rise, or when and if interest rates rise, assuming they will rise again at some point in time, just we don't know when. That's what it's going to do. It's going to cause homes to be more expensive per dollar because
it's an affordability index.
Yeah. Every time interest rates go up, it's going to cost you more money per month for the same amount of loan.
And it certainly will affect it. So are you thinking of selling your home? Is it your primary or rental?
It's my primary. My home went up quite a bit, but I was wondering how long you can hold on to the profit before you have to reinvest it into a new home without paying tax.
Oh, on a primary?
Yeah.
Oh, if you sell, you can exclude up to $250,000 of
per individual.
Yeah, of gain. Period. You don't have to reinvest. But if you sold, where would you go?
Well, I was thinking about renting for a little while because I think it's going to drop.
I don't think home prices have come up to that point that you'd see a large.
Have you
drop
looked
like
what
that.
It would cost you to rent your house?
It'd be about the same payment of what I'm paying now.
Yeah, you know, we're not talking. If we see a home price drop, I don't think it would be anywhere close to what we saw in 08.
No.
I don't think it'd be anywhere close.
I would agree.
If it was 10 to 12, 15%, it wouldn't surprise me. But if it was 40%, that would absolutely surprise me.
So here's the thing. Right now, David, you know, I'm assuming you have a mortgage on the house, right?
Right.
It's a fixed interest rate mortgage?
Yes.
Okay. So you know what your maximum monthly outgo is. And we also know that at some point in time, the home's going to be paid for, and you'll have a place you can live in without any payment, except you to maintain the house. Well, if you go and you sell this house today, you've got a couple risks. One, you've got a risk that home prices continue to increase to the point where you can no longer afford to buy back in. You also have the risk of inflation on rents, where rent's going to a point where you're having trouble being able to afford the monthly rent payment.
And you could see yourself priced out of this market.
That's true, but it seems like the market's so high now, it's more than the most married couples make.
Oh, actually,
no. So
remember, you're talking to the same guys in 07 and 08. We're telling people, slow down, don't invest.
You went home and told your wife, let's sell our house and rent for a while. I remember
I did.
That. Yeah,
she yeah that did. Yeah, that went over real well. She told me to go to my room. So this marketplace, when you look at an affordability index to rent or buy, it's about a push.
And affordability now is much better than it has been in years and years.
So I just wouldn't take that risk.
I wouldn't. I think there's too much downside risk for you than the upside.
Yeah. I don't think these house prices are grossly overpriced. Quite frankly, the replacement cost isn't that much.
And let's say we're wrong, right? Let's say real estate prices fall. Okay, if real estate prices fall, then you'll think, oh, this worked out great for me. Now I could buy a house that's going to cost me less money. But if they don't fall and they rise like they have historically, there's just a greater risk that you're not going to be able to afford the same house again.
Yeah, I just wouldn't take that risk. So appreciate the call.
So you think if they fall, they're not going to fall too much?
No, that's correct. And okay. I don't think it would be long term. It's a much different environment than we saw in 07 and 08.
There's not the easy money anymore.
Yeah. And when you looked at that, when you looked at the rent versus buy, the equation, the calculation said rent. And it was ridiculous. And if you looked at the people that were able to get financing, still remember this show. A lady called us up. She was making $9 an hour. She was
working at the airport. Was going to get two roommates.
Yeah, and how much was it? It was a $400,000 home, or it was
crazy. I just remember we both looked at each other like, okay, we said, who is going to loan you these dollars? Now we've learned.
And she said, how many roommates do you think I should get? We said, we don't think you should buy this house.
Yeah.
And we're not there. Right. We're just not there, David.
Okay, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Good luck to you. And the big issue is, not that we can predict where real estate prices are going to go, or prices of anything else. The issue is... having a home ownership, we believe, is crucial to a good, solid financial plan. If you ever want to be retired and have total independence, if you can have a home that's paid for, that certainly helps a great deal.
The appropriate sized home in the appropriate environment.
Yes. So, hey, we're going to take a break. 921-1530 is the number to join us, or you can email us questions@moneymatters.com. We'll be right back. Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Back with you. Let's talk with Tim. Tim, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen to you on Saturday mornings occasionally. Thought I'd shoot a quick question.
Occasionally?
At.
Anyway, thanks. Yeah, how can we help?
Yeah, question is, I'm 61. I call myself semi-retired. I've got seven figures in my 401k and some real estate assets. But I'm looking for some tools that I can use. You know, there's to determine when, where, and how I can retire because it's getting up close. And, you know, whether it's on the Internet or where we might source these out, you've got your standard 4% you can use off your base that we can talk about. But I guess it's I got to put all my allocations together and plug these in and go from there. But any suggestions?
I think allocations is a start, but it's also how do we take all these pieces? You've got your investments, you've got your 401k, you probably have some outside stuff. You've got Social Security that's going to come. When do we start Social Security? You may or may not have a pension. You might have a loan on your home still. All those things need to be taken into consideration and looked at. And then from there, and the allocations of your investments is kind of secondary to all those other things as far as retirement.
Correct. The allocation and the investment doesn't determine whether you can retire or not, because you can change the allocation relatively easily. But what you want to start out is with your resources. How much money do I have? Where the money's coming from? Is it Social Security? When do I start it? Do I have a pension? So the resources, you want to look at your debt, and you want to go through your taxes, your income, and your expenses.
And I think the other question is, longevity. How long do you need that for?
You want to assume is that if you take a 4% distribution, you're hoping not to touch principal.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, we got a plan. You got a plan on living till 100 or something.
Yeah.
Because if you plan on living to 81 and you make it to 82, it's not going to work out so well.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, psychologically, what happens is you start digging into principle too much, you actually change the way you live. And you could say it's okay because the sheet of paper told you it's all right, but that's not how people act.
And, it's interesting that 4% withdrawal rule. Here's why I'm not a huge fan of that. What that assumes is you retire today, Tim, and you take 4% of your portfolio, and every year you increase that with the rate of inflation. But the reality is this. If you were retired during the financial crisis in 08, you would have scaled back on your expenses. That's what people did. So let's say you have a budget of taking, let's say your goal is to have two vacations a year, two trips a year during retirement. And things are going great, you might say, let's take three trips this year. But if things look horrible, you'll say, let's just cut it back to one, and the trip we're taking, let's scale back on that. And you do that with all other things in your life. Instead of buying that new car this year, let's put some maintenance on it. Let's make it last a couple more years. That's reality. It's the same thing when you're working. If you go through a rough patch at career, you get laid off for a period of time, you just tend to scale back a bit. And we see is that's how most retirees live as well. Now, it would be wonderful and bliss if you never had to think of those things. But the reality is most people don't have enough money saved so they can say, I'm just going to take a 4%. When they say, I'm going to 99% confidence of never running out of money, and I'm going to follow a 4% withdrawal rule and increase it with the rate of inflation regardless. For the reality is most people don't have that kind of money saved.
Yeah, and most people don't know what 99% confidence means.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, statistical probabilities.
Exactly. And the other concern is long-term health care down the road. You know, well, how much is that going to erode? And you just can't turn it.
How much does it even cost, right?
Yeah.
So how much does an insurance policy even cost? Because you could buy it today, and you don't know what the premium is going to be 3 years from now or 5 years from now. You have no idea
what the premium it would have been a little less if I would have got it at 59.
Maybe not. Because what happens is on the long-term health care, you're in your risk pool, and they can move the premiums up with that particular risk pool.
Yeah, which CalPERS did for their, I mean, a lot of people are furious. They got increases of 50 or 60% of their premiums.
Because the risk pool, the morbidity cost in that risk pool went up significantly. So you use the tools. That's a great start. But the easiest way is make sure you go into retirement without debt.
Exactly.
You don't want any debt. Make sure you know when to take your Social Security and how to take it. And then the last thing is start with a 4% distribution on your account. That's where I'd start, but it doesn't mean you're going to stay that way
and
forever.
And I haven't seen any great...
What tools? We use
We've got all advisor. The financial planning programs and that stuff, but... You know, it's kind of like when you go to, if you go and see if you got a medical issue and you go see a doctor who's been practicing for 20 years or whatever, he or she.
He doesn't plug in every person into a program. They just look at them and say, do this, this, and this.
Right. Yeah. I've seen it so many times, and it's taken the academic, which is what the tools typically do, and putting some real world stuff behind it. We would recommend go and see a quality financial advisor, someone who helps people with the retirement transition. I think it'd be worth your time to go sit down with somebody for an hour and run some ideas past somebody. I really do.
Will do. And it evolves. It evolves. So
yep, that's exactly it.
That's exactly it. So, for example, Hanson McLean, we don't do financial plans that have these 30-year projections where you have a big binder and here's your book and good luck to you. Let's just... And the reason is things change, right? So what we do is some financial planning now, given what the world looks like today and what someone's situation likes today. But we adjust things as things change. People's life situations change.
They move.
The marketplace change. And those things always continue to evolve and continue to adjust. So for most people, it's not, I'm going to put this plan together, retire, and never think about my financial life again. It's just not that realistic, right? I mean, there's things to be looking at. So, hey, appreciate the call, Tim, and wish you well on your financial future. Let's talk with Dave. Dave, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Dave.
I have a living trust, my wife and myself. My family owns together. There's 8 of us involved, my uncle and cousins and 2 sisters and mom. A piece of property down in Southern California that is not in the trust.
Okay.
Will my wife, if she survives me, be able to, I have a right of survivorship and then also the incapacitated willing to sign things.
Okay,
Power of attorney. Will that cover the property from going to probate? Do you know?
No.
Or will it still, it's got to be in the trust.
Yeah, and your trust actually has what's called a pour over will that actually takes that asset that is left out of the trust and puts it back into the trust. But depending upon the size of the asset that's left out of the trust, it can be probated.
So this property, is this property in some sort of an LLC, or are there literally 8 individuals listed on title?
There's 8 individuals listed on title.
And what's the value of the property?
We are trying to negotiate that. It's probably around $2 to $2.5 million, maybe $2.8 million.
All right, so your interest in it is between $250,000 and $300,000. Yeah, we're going to have to.
I'm like
$150 to $200.
So, yeah. Oh, $150 to $200. Well, it's not evenly distributed.
Oh, got it.
So
it seems strange. I would think for everyone's sake, it would be a lot easier to structure this as an LLC and have the eight people be members of the LLC at differing percentages, and you could have your trust, your portion could be owned by your the trust.
Will that interfere with doing a 1031 exchange?
Not if you change the title ahead of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Change it back to...
Yeah, let me think about this.
But even still, his trust, why don't you just have the trust own the property there?
And I'm backtracking. I would make sure I talked to good counsel before I...
But why doesn't your trust own the property? Why is your name on it? The trust is owning the property there. The problem with owning the trust is the trust is with your spouse. If it's separate property, is it separate property? Is it community property between you and your wife?
It'll be community property. It is community property.
Well, just easy enough. Just change the title from your portion, your eighth ownership.
That's going to take all eight signatures, probably.
Everybody wants to put... We want everybody to put it in the trust. Two of the individuals are getting older and stuff. But anyway, by going to having it in the trust, I understand doing a 1031 exchange has got to be extracted out of the trust to do a 1031 exchange on it.
I just went through 1031 exchange myself not long ago, and I'm trying to remember how it all...
I don't know if that's true or not.
I know there's certain rules you need to file in the 1031 exchange, and they're pretty... dry.
I don't know the answer. I have no idea.
But are you guys in the... So is the plan now to exchange this with something else?
The plan is now for me and probably four other individuals to do that, yes.
But not the other ones.
Well, my mom doesn't want and my uncle doesn't want to do it.
Here's where things get really complicated. I would wait until the transaction's done and then try to put it in your trust. I imagine your trust has a pour-over will. You're worried about dying early and having probate involved. That's a minor issue, I think, compared to the hurdles that you're going to get through when you've got eight people that have differing wishes and desires for
and
what's going to happen. I wouldn't worry about it. You got a trust set up now, Parvo. I wouldn't spend any time worrying about it. I'd worry about getting this transaction done first. I think that'd be your best thing. So, hey, appreciate the call.
And I would try to avoid to do any business transaction with family.
Well, you shouldn't say that.
I would try.
Okay.
I would try to avoid any business transaction with family.
Okay, but it tends to complicate things. But there are some, Tykert, for example, large company here in Sacramento, fourth generation.
Buzz Oates Company.
Yeah, there's lots of family businesses. But you said you get to look on your face. Yeah, I'm only person. I'm not doing any business with family. It does complicate things. But the situation he's in could have been a lot easier if you had an LLC set up at the beginning with an operating agreement behind that spells out what do we do when five people want to sell and three people don't and some of those things. Anyway, we're out of time. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11, rebroadcast Sunday from 2 to 3. You can learn more about us at handsomeacclaim.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.